hotline with us right now, Jeff Svoboda. Jeff, thank you so much for the time today. Are things at least a little bit warmer down there?
I think it's a little bit warmer, yeah. I didn't quite catch the temperature there in your weather report, what it is down there. But I walked to lunch today and didn't freeze to death. So I think that's a good sign down here.
It is a balmy 13 degrees outside. At least that's what I'm showing right now. So it's
Ooh,
cold.
Yeah, that is cold. That is. I'm sure my dad has the wood-burning stove firing right now. You need it when it's that cold.
Yeah, you absolutely do, my friend. Well, let's get into the Columbus Blue Jackets. Boy, there were some really good CBJ Valentine's Day puns that you retweeted earlier today. What were some of your favorites?
Oh, boy, you put me on the spot here. I mean, off the top of my head, I don't remember all that many of them. But, you know, we certainly tried to do our best to celebrate these holidays. And, in fact, I'm sitting here staring out at the arena, and we have Valentine's Day decor kind of set up here. The scoreboard has some Valentine's Day stuff, and there's the little candy heart that have some hockey sayings on them. One says "pucker up." I think that's a good one. So you can never have too many good puns as far as these days go. And our graphics department really thrives on these things. So they put a lot of time and effort into these things to make sure they get them right.
Good stuff. Looking at a few right now, I've got a Elvis Merzlikens "Don't Shut Out My Heart."
And okay, that's a good one, yeah.
Yeah, the Nick Foligno, "You Stole My Heart in the Nick of Time." So there's some really good ones on here. There's some really, really good ones. They did a nice job with that. But getting back to the ice, I want to talk about the impact of Liam Foudy. And, I saw you tweeted a little bit earlier today that his spot's being taken in the lineup by Jacob Liljegren, who's going to head down to Columbus by way of the Cleveland Monsters. But getting back to Foudy, what about the impact of him?
It's been really good through two games. This is a guy made his NHL debut on Monday night. He never played at this high of a level, and in fact had played a couple games with the Monsters a year ago in the postseason. But by and large, this is a guy that had just been playing junior hockey. He's playing for the London Knights right now. Oh, I knew the horn was going to go off. you got to do the practice here, to make sure everything's ready to go before the game starts. So Foudy's been a really good addition. Comes in from the London Knights to the OHL. Has played for Team Canada in the World Junior Championships this year, which is a big tournament internationally these days, where the best players, age 20 and under play. And he was one of Canada's best players in that tournament. And so this is a guy whose bona fides are really good. First-round draft pick in 2018, but just had not played at the NHL level before. So you wonder, just how good is he going to be, especially right now. He's a 20-year-old guy who's playing against kids who are 16 to 21 down at the junior level in London. And London's one of the best teams in the OHL and could very well win a championship there. So he's playing against the best people in his age group. But how would he fare when he comes up and plays against National Hockey League players? And then in the two games that he's played, he's been fantastic at it. Just a really key addition for the Blue Jackets. His great speed, everyone knew that. But, he's showing off some pretty good offensive instincts as well. And as a guy that, there was talk that he could have been a guy who made the team coming out of camp had he not been hurt, and ends up having to go back to juniors and play there. And now that the situation is, he can only play a handful of games up here because of the fact the deal that's made between the Ontario Hockey League and the Canadian Hockey League up there in the NHL. He can only really play five games for us, and they'll have to be by March 1st. So we're not going to see a ton of him, but the fact that he's come in, played well, and looks like an NHL player, it's a good sign for the future. They wish they could have him play all the games at this point. Unfortunately, he can't play tonight. Will not be able to probably play Sunday just because of the number of games he's been playing of late. You can't have him playing every night, as much as I'm sure he would love to at the age of 20 years old. But the three more games that they can have him out there, they'll be really excited to have him because, he looks like a guy that would fit right in right now.
And we mentioned Jacob Lill just coming up from the Cleveland Monsters to take his spot in the lineup. What are the expectations for Lilja?
I think the expectations for him are just to play solid and play responsibly, which is pretty much what he does. He's not a guy that's going to go out there and probably have a hat trick. He's a guy that is kind of a fourth-line guy. He's played a number of stints this year with the Blue Jackets. I don't exactly know the number off the top of my head, but probably has played close to 30 games for this team this year. So it's not like he's going to be overwhelmed by the experience. But he'll come in and just probably be a third or fourth-line guy. He expects to play solid defensively. That's what they like about him is he battles hard. He wins pucks, and he puts himself in a situation to succeed and not get burned on the defensive side. And so it's basically just come up and play his game and play solid. He's a rookie as well, but he's 26 years old and spent most of his career in his native Sweden up to this point. So he's not a young guy. This is a guy that knows how to play hockey. He's a pro. And just go in and kind of do his thing. That's pretty much what they expect out of him. And they say they're not going to be looking to him for a hat trick or anything like that. They'll probably have to move some lines around just to fit him into the lineup. But for him, it's just go in and play solid and play his game.
We're talking Columbus Blue Jackets hockey with CBJ insider Jess Fabota here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Well, an overtime loss to those Buffalo Sabres. Major takeaways in that loss earlier this week?
It was an interesting game. In fact, it was last night. It was a game where the Blue Jackets were up 2-0, so you felt like they could have gotten 2 points in that game, and probably should have gotten 2 points in that game, considering the Sabres are a team that's not going to make the playoffs and are pretty much playing out the string at this point. But then the Sabres come back and take a 3-2 lead, and so the Blue Jackets could have lost that game with 0 points. They went from looking at two to looking at zero, and they end up with one. They tie the game in the final minutes with about just over a minute to play. They tie it. They go to overtime and end up losing there. The takeaway is just that they need to play a little bit more of a solid hockey game. Head coach John Tortorella was not happy after the game last night. He said he saw a little bit of selfishness kind of sneaking into the team's play. And maybe it's just because they just haven't scored a lot of goals recently. And maybe the guys are trying to make something happen. And instead of just sticking with it and being patient, kind of letting the game come to them, they feel like, I think some of the bigger names right now kind of feel like we got to go out there and score a goal and do something to this team. And instead of just kind of playing the game and letting it come to them. And so I think that'll be kind of the key tonight is how do some of those top guys respond. A guy like Pierre-Luc Dubois, who's one of our top players, a 21-year-old center who's basically been a point-of-game player over the last 30 games, ends up getting benched at the end of that game, doesn't play the last 6 minutes, doesn't play in overtime. I think he was one of the guys that Torts was talking about, that just has to play the game the right way and not get impatient and not kind of get a little selfish and try to score goals when they don't really need one. They were up 2-0. They didn't need to keep pushing for goals last night. They just need to kind of get that game home, and instead they end up blowing that lead. So I think it's a situation where they just need to kind of see those guys play a little bit more the right way and play the way that they've been playing throughout the stretch where, in the last 29 games, they've got points in 26 of them. So, I mean, this is a team that knows how to play. It's just sometimes, when the goals are coming, you panic a little bit, maybe try to do things a little bit differently. And instead, they just kind of need to stick with it and not really not force it, which is, sometimes that happens when you're just not scoring.
Well, and that was my next question for you. I thought it was awfully strange that Pierre-Luc Dubois didn't play in the final 6 minutes or in overtime in that loss. And you think it was strictly performance-based and just to send a message? You think that simple?
I think so. And if you look back, the goal that really upset the head coach last night was the Blue Jackets were up 2-0 in really late in the second period. And you think if they get that game to the intermission, they're up 2-0 with going to the third period. That's a game they probably win. And instead, they got into a situation where they got a little bit too aggressive offensively and give up a goal late in that period. And suddenly it's a 2-1 game, and Buffalo has momentum that, frankly, it didn't look like they were going to have, because it really looked like for a good portion of that game that the Blue Jackets were really just going to be able to grind it down and keep that lead and finish it off. But then, they make a mistake. The situational play is the way that the head coach talked about it. You got to know the situation you're in. It's late in the period when you got the lead. And instead, Dubois kind of jumps forward to try to, make a play in the offensive zone. And, the puck goes the other way. 3-on-2, the Sabres score. And that really kind of led to the comeback. And so I think, as the game went on, and this is something that John Tortorella will do. If he just does, every game is a different game to him. You've got to really build up a bank to be out there late. And the way he looked at the way that they had played that game, he just decided to go with some other guys. And so I don't anticipate that will continue into tonight. Dubois will be right back out there and get his chance. But the way that game was being played and the way that Dubois, I guess, was playing in that game, kind of made Torts make that decision. And now it's just up to Dubois to kind of learn from it and go forward, which, this is a guy he's one of the top young players in the National Hockey League. Last year he was second in the league in scoring among guys who are 20 years old or younger. This year I think he's fourth among 21-year-olds or younger. So, I mean, this guy is a really good player. It's just, he's 21 and, sometimes it just takes a little bit of teaching and a little bit of learning on the job to kind of always be where you need to be. And I think that's the situation he's kind of in. And so he'll be back out there tonight. And I'll be very interested to see kind of how he responds and how that whole top line responds to being called out by the coach. And, this would be a good situation for them to come out there and have a really good game because of the way that they put themselves in last night.
Well, you tweeted out earlier this morning that the Jackets don't really have much time to dwell on that overtime loss last night to Buffalo. Tonight, they're back at it again as they play host to the Rangers at Nationwide Arena. What should we expect tonight against the Rangers?
I think it will be a spirited affair. These teams kind of have a history of just the games getting a little chippy, I guess I would say, because they play each other four times a year. And they've made a lot of trades with one another, too, over the last 7 or 8 years. I mean, these are two organizations. There's a lot of ties between these organizations, even going back. John Tortorella coached the Rangers for a while there. We've had a number of players that have kind of gone and played on both sides of this, but not necessarily a rivalry, because if you ask the Rangers, they would probably not say they have a rivalry with the Blue Jackets, being one of the oldest franchises in the game and us being one of the youngest. But at the same time, these teams do play a lot, and there's a lot of familiarity there. Artemi Panarin was the Blue Jackets' best player the last 2 years, their leading scorer the last 2 years. Now he signs a big contract with the Rangers, so that adds a little bit to it, so that the fans will be on him in this game. And it just kind of feels like it sets up, it's Valentine's Day, and there's no love lost between these teams. I feel like it kind of sets up for a game that's going to be a really intense, really fun game to watch, and we'll see where it goes from there. But I think it's going to be, you can kind of see, I just have that feeling, it's going to be an interesting one. There's going to be some chippiness and some hatred between these two teams by the time it's all said and done.
We'll take it one step further and close out on this. The Jackets have been home quite a bit here. It feels like the last week to 10 days shortly after the All-Star break. They're going back out on the road. They take on New Jersey on Sunday. We will have that game here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. So for our listeners who are tuning in on Sunday night when they take on New Jersey, I know it's not exactly been a great year for the Devils, but what are some of the expectations in that game?
I think the game the Blue Jackets have to win. If you look at their February schedule, it's not that difficult as far as I think they play throughout the whole month. They play 15 games, which is crazy, 15 games in 29 days. But only five of those games are against teams that are in playoff spots right now. Only three of them at the start of the month were against teams that were in playoff spots. Now, Philadelphia, which is one of the teams the Blue Jackets are battling for one of the last spots here in the Eastern Conference, has gone on quite a winning streak now, and they're in the playoffs, and we have a back-to-back with them next week, Tuesday and Thursday. So those will be huge games. But when you play teams like the Rangers right now, who are on the periphery of the playoff race, but they're probably not going to make it unless they just get red hot. The Devils are dead in the water at this point. Those are the games the Blue Jackets have to win. You have to beat the teams that are below you in the standings, and when you get that opportunity, and so this weekend really affords them that chance, both with the Rangers tonight and then going to New Jersey on Sunday night. You got to take advantage of that, especially because the March schedule, there are some really good teams on the March schedule. And so if you're going to be the Blue Jackets, and you're battling for a playoff spot coming down the stretch. And right now you're missing a lot of your best players still, including some more injuries this week, like Seth Jones going down. You've got to make something out of February to give yourself a chance in March. And so they basically, it's too early to say must win, but these are some situations here over the next 2 weeks where you're playing teams that are not really in the playoff race, and it feels like you really got to win these games because it's coming down the pipe at you in March. It's going to be a really difficult March. Hopefully you get some players back by then. But when the schedule gets a little easier, you got to take advantage of it, and that's where they are right now.